The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. Once again, in today's gospel, Jesus points to his departure and offers us one word, peace. He appears three times after his resurrection, and his first words are always the same, "Peace be with you." It is not peace as the world gives. It is the only genuine and lasting peace. Our best efforts seem to be ceasefires and cold wars. At worst, the atrocities that we see in Ukraine today, but also social cleansing and genocide in other places in the world at all times. He offers us a peace that is genuine and lasting. When was the last time you knew that? I mean, even for a moment, think about all the personal tensions in our lives. Relationships, business, family, church, trauma everywhere. Justice and right and wrong are politicized. So much uncertainty, the economy, the cost of living going up. I read yesterday that it's gone up 8% here, but in some places in Eastern Africa, there has been a sustained inflation of 300% over the last several years. On top of that, the entire world is living with COVID. There is a crisis of truth. So we might catch a moment of peace here and there, but it is very fragile. Jesus gives this peace that is genuine and lasting. To the one who followed Jesus' commandment of love, the Son and the Father come to dwell, and the Holy Spirit explains all the truth that Jesus brought. In God's Trinity is the true, unshakable peace, and it is to the life of that Trinity that we are called. And at the same time, disciples are sent out to the world to be peacemakers. The church must be a place of peace in a world without peace. Internal problems which cause tensions must be overcome, but can only be resolved under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, in prayer to the Holy Spirit, in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Already in the apostolic period, there was deep division between the Jewish people, already living with 1,000 years of revelation from God, and those Gentiles joining them who brought nothing of a tradition. We see in the first reading that in order to achieve a truly peaceful life, both sides must give up something. The Gentiles ultimately don't have to follow some important, uniquely Jewish customs, but they also must make several concessions to the Jews in the areas of dietary practices and marriage between relatives. These compromises may seem to go without saying to us today, but they were extremely relevant at the time. As one theologian says, it is a model for how the genuine peace of Christ can rule the church by way of real dialogue, not merely a ceasefire. In what is probably the shortest apostolic letter in history, in the first reading today, the church declares, "It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us." 50 words. Encyclicals today can be twice that many pages. But this is the heart of dialogue, the recognition that neither party is completely right nor completely wrong. In Christ's peace, people have to listen to each other, consider the reasons for each other's views, and avoid making one's own views absolute. It is Christ's peace above all that is sought. And yet, it must be said that this peace isn't knowable only by Catholics or even Christians. It is given to all who seek it and all peacemakers who make it. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. The song of the angels rang out in the night of Jesus' birth before anyone knew he was there or let alone had heard of Christianity. The vision of the heavenly Jerusalem in the second reading takes form as the city of peace by its very architecture. The chasm between the Old Testament of the Jews and the New Testament of the Christians is closed. The 12 gates are named after the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 courses of stone in the walls bear the 12 names of the apostles of the Lamb. In the fourth chapter of Revelation, the number of those surrounding the throne is 24. None were lost. This kingdom of peace is already present, but not yet perfect. Our job in history is to be bridges of what is to what is yet to come. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said. Theirs is the kingdom of God. At first glance, our diversity can appear as the cause of our divergence, but convergence is also possible. Divergence or splitting apart is often the result of a lack of self-reflection or a lack of formation in values. It results in tribalism. Sometimes, perhaps, it happens by someone's evil intention. We can choose to be ignorant. We can choose to be indifferent. Without intentionality and discipline, as human beings, we tend to stray. Jesus says, "To anyone who follows the commandment of love, the Son and the Father come to dwell, and the Holy Spirit, their bond of love, explains all the truth that Jesus brought. The gift of the Holy Spirit who comes is not rationed, as we might be tempted to think, perhaps a little to that group and hopefully more to us. There is no partial gift of the Holy Spirit." In our dialogue for Christian unity, maybe we have been starting at the wrong place. Rather than convincing each other that we are right, maybe we first start out finding who each other are, focusing on that real presence of the Holy Spirit who does not deny himself to anyone who seeks him. In our encountering one another, if we can recognize one another as people of faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love, says St. Paul, perhaps if we do not find our unity in faith at first, we can begin by choosing to become people united in love. Mutual hope would follow, and then we will know a genuine and lasting peace. The Holy Spirit, who is the bond of love, will enter into our diversity and transform our divergence into convergence and our longing into peace.